School districts across the state have been forced to lay off personnel and make reductions in anticipation of an unknown budget, often not finalized until just before classes begin. More schools are on financial oversight and watch lists, and 67% of districts are currently in deficit spending. That's an all-time high. State School Superintendent Christopher Cook says two school districts couldn't make payroll last year, a problem he says only figures to get worse unless lawmakers and the governor act quickly. He says there's been a lot of monitoring in Springfield of school spending, something he encourages.
So we're going to have some very difficult conversations. I know already, just in what I'm seeing and hearing in the appropriation committees and members of the General Assembly, a lot of folks care deeply about where the revenue is going and for education, how the dollars are being spent, where the growth is in the budget. We're talking about things like the property tax extension limitation component, the poverty component to the formula. All these things have grown exponentially over the last 5-10 years. I think it's a public responsibility to look, anytime you see a lot of growth in cost, to really look carefully at those portions of the budget and ask questions about them and try to ensure that this is best serving the needs of our students today.
The state school board backs the proposal by Democratic Senator Andy Menar to study the funding mechanism for public school districts, even starting from scratch if necessary. This seems to me to be a long-term approach to a short-term problem.
We have both. We have both long and short-term needs. We think the best solution right now is to fund the foundation level that's in statute. That's $6,119. We believe that could be possible with a very critical look at the budget. That would help at least keep districts afloat during this very difficult time. We don't have a lot of latitude in time. The urgency is now in ensuring that we're providing adequate funding for education.
You mentioned property tax extension limitations, or PTEL. That's more commonly known as the property tax caps. Some counties started instituting these a decade or so ago. How much of an impact are these having on the financial condition of districts?
First of all, just looking on its surface, this is a liability that started around $40 million that grew to its peak of over $800 million. And in essence, you have the state offsetting where property tax, only a portion of it, where the property tax is capped, then the state makes up the difference of what's needed there. And it's for counties that have voted on this. So you have, just in that basic configuration, an elevated cost to the state, an undetermined amount of money that's going to be needed in the future as property values rise again coming out of the recession. That number is going to go up. And so I think it's really important to look at that carefully.
It appears school districts will be asked in some form or another to pick up the cost of the pension obligation. How can some of these districts, especially the smaller ones, do that in light of their current financial situation?
You know, the districts are definitely concerned about that. And I would say, though, that what's worse is not having or knowing what those costs are going to be at this point. Many district superintendents have told me, Chris, we just need to know the numbers. Just tell us what we have to do. We can budget for it and plan for it. The proration, or not funding the foundation level, for many has been a much deeper impact than a cost shift would be. So it really depends on the local situation of a district.
If you're going to propose long and short-term solutions, what would they be?
Well, I think, you know, again, we're going to have to do both. I guess with the short-term, you know, we're looking critically. In fact, I believe our board's going to be considering a resolution even this month for, first of all, allowing districts enough time for a change. If there's a change in what we're currently doing and allocating the money, if there's a better way to do it on the short term, we're open to looking at that. I know there have been some suggestions on the table. Our board is looking at that. We began looking at those modifications over the summer, last year, about a year ago. So we've been giving thought to what some short-term changes could be. Again, we're very supportive of looking carefully at all the components, setting out some guiding principles, I think, for the public to understand funding, how it's used. We're very supportive of doing that. We're going to support this legislative task force for the long term to do their work and do their work well and make sure that we have the best thinking in the country on how these things can work. Your zip code shouldn't matter in terms of the education you receive, and currently, unfortunately, it does.
Do the legislators and the governor get that message, do you think, that the condition of public K-12 education funding is dire and huge steps need to be taken right away?
I mean, every year I've witnessed an increased understanding from members of the General Assembly around these issues. I think the committees this year and the appropriation committees were very well informed good questions. They certainly have a sense of what's going on and understand an increased urgency. I think, you know, I'm very hopeful that we'll see some resolution on pensions so that we can move ahead with these other issues this year. I have to remain optimistic. Our schools are too important, and that folks realize that.
State School Superintendent Christopher Cook says consolidation is a popular concept around the state right now. He says having so many elementary, unit, and high school districts makes it difficult to raise adequate revenue. He says there's often a disconnect between elementary and high school districts, and Cook suggests providing monetary incentives for districts to align curriculum and instruction methods. I'm Willis Kern.